Dan, thanks for doing this. For the benefit of our listeners, can you maybe just talk about the importance of midterm rankings? I mean, you have initial rankings, midterm rankings, and then final rankings. What's the importance? What's the benefit of this particular round of rankings, Dan?
Well, hi, guys. Thanks for having me on this afternoon. Our job at Central Scouting, what fans need to understand is we work for the benefit of the 30 NHL teams. And we have a preliminary watch list. And the midseason ranking, it's the first round-by-round comprehensive ranking that we put out. And our job is just to identify NHL prospects for the NHL clubs and to rank them in this order. And what it serves for the team is they go through the same process themselves. And it just gives a little bit of a sober second thought for them to say, okay, well, you know, they have this guy, you know, the top of the, or the middle of the first, we have at the bottom of the first. And it generates discussion, just further discussion on the players, which is very productive at midseason, because the teams now, from here to the end of the year, they do a lot of crossover scouting, where the east guy goes west, vice versa. And all they do is they've had a very healthy discussion on the players. They may agree or disagree, or they may have been able to raise points that they'd like the other guys to focus on, you know, good or bad about the player when they go through the second half. So it just serves its purpose for that healthy discussion. And during the crossover period here, it helps the teams finalize their evaluations for the end of the year.
Dan, how much of a role does something like the World Junior Championships play into these rankings? Because so few of these players likely participated, however some of the top-end guys do. I'm curious about, as an evaluator, how much does that particular tournament weigh into these rankings?
Well, the NHL personnel, they attend the tournaments. They're all well-attended. But everyone understands the World Juniors is a tournament for 19-year-olds. Any 17, 18-year-old that makes their team, that's a feather in their cap. And while, you know, the World Junior, it certainly can be used as a measuring tool. It's not one tournament or one series of game doesn't impact the overall impression and projection that you have on a player. It's good to see the players go there, have success, be in a winning environment, or just to make the team. But overall, I've never known it to negatively impact any player.
With Dan Maher, the director of Central Scouting, our guest here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Pat?
Dan, you've been doing this for a long time. Connor McDavid is the number one ranked player among North American skaters. And tough to compare against former players and former number one overall type things. But where do you see Connor McDavid in terms of his readiness and in terms of his impact-making ability for next year?
Well, certainly the team that gets him, he's going to be given every opportunity to take a role on that team. And keep in mind, you know, Connor McDavid has been on this path for the last few years, which is you know, unusual that a player's put on that pedestal so early. And, you know, you can make comparisons, you can talk about the skills of previous picks and that, but I've often heard in the media and through NHL circles, he's referred to as a generational player. They just don't come around all that often. And he certainly fits this bill. The way he quickly processes a game, everything about him is quick. His read and react, his anticipation, his puck skills, just puck moving, his moves on the fly. He can change direction on a dime there. But what really, Connor McDavid plays the game, and you know, he's in that category with the Sidney Crosby. When you watch Sidney Crosby play, Connor McDavid plays the game the same way. You can watch him play. He's not out there doing individual things. He's not out there trying to get points, trying to score. He's out there to win. He plays to win. He loves the game, and that comes across every time you see Connor McDavid play. But he's so talented that the best is yet to come. Every game you go to, he shows you something new or something different.
So pick up on that a little bit more. How would you truly define a generational player?
Someone that can go in and make an impact on that team that will elevate that team's play, elevate that team in the standings. Now, will he do it at 18 or 19? I wouldn't depend on any 18 or 19-year-old to do that. but overall his impact on that team is going to be substantial.
So where do you see the gap right now between him and to that number two North American skater in Jack Eichel? Like, how much of a gap are we talking about in your eyes?
Well, when scouts get together, we don't kind of view it as a gap. We look at it in different ways. If, you know, would you want him on your team? Do you want him on your reserve list? What role do you see him down the road? How much more better is he going to get? What impact is he going to have on the team? You know, like Jack Eichel, you know, we think he can have a Jonathan Toews type impact on a team. There's nothing the matter with that. But we have to differentiate to have a number one and a number two, and Connor McDavid is clearly number one for us at this time, and Jack Eichel is clearly number two.
With Dan Marr, Director of Central Scouting, our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Because so much attention has been paid to those two players, Dan, I find that I really don't have a good handle on the rest of the draft. How would you, you know, how would you view the, you know, the potential first round class this year? How deep is this draft?
Well, when we went into our midseason meetings, it turned out the way we anticipated that we really were going to start our discussions at the number four spot. Noah Hanifin was clearly the top and best defenseman available in this year's draft class. And the next few players, we've got Kraus, Strom, Werenski, and Marner. Those are all interchangeable even now at this point. But after that, every team, they're going to get a good player in their roster for the National Hockey League in the first round. And the second round has some depth to it, but just in the scouting circles, it's not felt that this is a deep draft. So once you get into the mid rounds and the late rounds there, it really drops off to where teams are going to really focus their picks on not maybe what you'd say the ranked best players, but specific players that are very good at particular parts of their game or the types of players that they need to add to their depth in their reserve list and in their system. They may just refocus their philosophy a little bit and their projections as it goes deeper into the draft.
When we look overseas, what are we seeing from potential Europeans? Because for those who don't know, you know, Central Scouting does differentiate between players playing in the, you know, in North America and players playing in Europe. How is the European class look?
As it's been the last couple of years, a lot of the top European talent has come over to play in the Canadian Hockey League. So there's a number of those players are already over here. I know the top two players, Killington and Rantanen, they're thought to be the most NHL-ready on the European market. But again, in Europe, it is not a deep year as well. It drops off rather quickly.
And I guess it's a catch-all question because we'll include both groups. But goaltenders in this year's draft, is there many standouts in that particular position?
You know, the trend the last few years is, as you know, like not too many goaltenders get selected in the first round anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this year there's a couple interesting players on the European side, and in I'd say like the top three to four goaltenders in Europe are going to get good consideration in the top three rounds. And over here we've got like the four top goalies we think will go in the top two rounds on the North American list. But to say that any one of them will go in the first round right now, that's really debatable.
With Dan Marr, the Director of Central Scouting, our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Dan, I want to ask you about some of the specific players ranked, and specifically in the North American skater side of things. I know a lot of people, when they saw Lawson Kraus ranked number four of the Kingston Frontenacs, they're like, okay, that's interesting. We saw him at the World Junior Hockey Championships. You take a look at his points with Kingston, you don't see a point-per-game guy, but you see a huge body, and it sounds like a late bloomer. Just your overall feel on Lawson Kraus and why he's ranked as high as he is.
Well, Lawson Kraus, you know, you can reference him as a late bloomer, and we look at it in terms that he just continues to improve and improve every time we see him. And what was good for his game and development was that he was put in a specific role with Team Canada, and he fulfilled that role very well. And, you know, a lot of players can't do that. He's an impact player for Kingston. He's one of their leading scorers, but he's just happened to miss a lot of games. And on the side with the points, if you put Lawson Cross on London and Mitch Marner on Kingston, you know, will there be a trade-off in points there as well? And, mm-hmm. and likely there would. It's just the makeup of the team. But what we see is Lawson Cross gets more powerful with his skating. He's very hard to check, very hard to get the puck off him. And right now, he has to create the plays himself in Kingston, where he does all the work to set up the scoring chances. He's got a decent shot, but he doesn't get the puck fed to him. It's not distributed to him as often as some other players. So, as you notice, he always has more goals than assists. And that's been his record for the last couple of years. So we don't really get wrapped up in the points. You know, again, they're part of a measuring tool that you use in your overall evaluation there. But, and we do this quite often. We just put Lawson Cross in different situations.
Right.
And we don't have any concern that his offense won't be there.
Is he one of those guys then that you would project as a better pro as opposed to, you know, in terms of points and in terms of all that type of stuff, a better pro than maybe we see in junior?
I think that's fair and a valid statement to make, and that does happen quite often.
Tell me about Mitch Marner of London. He's listed at 5'11", 155 pounds. A, what do you like about him? And B, how much potential is there for him to add to that frame?
Well, Mitch Marner, I believe he's got the quickest hands in the draft. And he has offensive hockey sense where he just sees the play and the puck is on a stick and off his stick. But he's also quick to take advantage of any opportunities there. But what really makes him the complete package is the way he competes out there. He doesn't quit on a play. He doesn't give up on a puck. And he's that guy that he's going through the D. They're taking him out. But as he's going down, he reaches forward and he advances the puck and sets up a goalie. He just doesn't let up. And that's not something that you can teach somebody. As far as the weight goes, there's always potential to grow. He's 17 years old. You hope he's going to fill out. But the weight will come up as an adult. Everybody knows the weight creeps up on you. But he's going to be with his professional strength coaches there. They'll get him in a good spot. But it's not, you know, contingent upon him playing. Doug Gilmore played a whole NHL career. I don't know if he ever weighed over 160.
Mm-hmm. And final one for me, and that's on Ivan Provorov of Brandon. Had an opportunity to see him a few times up close and personal, and he's a lot of fun to watch on that back end, a smooth skater and some really fun offensive instincts. How do you see Provorov projecting at the next level, Dan?
His hockey sense and his composure, the ability to read the play, make the right choices, make good decisions all the time there. Those are the type of defensemen that are valuable now in the National Hockey League. And, you know, there's him and one other player on our list, Zboril, those kids right now, they can make that long headman pass from the faceoff circle, tape to tape, up the middle to the forward, sending them in on the clear or setting up the odd man rush. Like, just his hockey instincts and his composure out there really, really sets him apart. Like, those type of players, it doesn't take them long to sort themselves out at a training camp and make an NHL club.
With Dan Marr from Central Scouting, the National Hockey League releasing their midterm rankings. Just two more for me, Dan, and they're more motherhood statements than anything. I'm curious how trends or do trends impact how Central Scouting does their business, and I'll give you an example of that. You know, this year we've seen a dramatic drop off in heavyweights and fighting in the National Hockey League. You know, here in Calgary we're watching Johnny Gaudreau, who, you know, 20 years ago 5 foot nothing, would have never got drafted, but you'd have to relook at how you would have drafted him in 2011. Are you impacted by current trends in the NHL at all when you look at players?
For sure. You know, since the salary cap came into play with the collective bargaining agreement and the new rules were introduced to the game there, smaller players are on more of an even keel when it comes to making NHL rosters and playing in the league. And we pay attention to that. Like, I've often, this is my third year with Central Scouting, and I've had a lot of the team scouts come up to me and say, you know, we're glad that you listed this player. And not other smaller type players, which, like you said, traditionally wouldn't have been in the mix before.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the teams have just said to us, we're interested in good players. It doesn't matter about the size. And there's always the connotation there, well, come playoff time, you need that toughness there. Well, that's the intangible with the compete game and how the players play. So there's a lot of good players that have that compete level. There's a lot of good players that don't have that playoff type compete that you're looking for all the time. You know, and teams will sort that out and they'll draft and develop their players. But for us, size really doesn't influence it. And, you know, the way fighting is being looked at now and the way the games are being called, a lot of times in most games, fighting is just a delay of the game right now.
Yeah.
Everyone's just waiting to drop the puck and let's go.
Dan, the final one is, and just curious, limited viewing players. Are there many or intriguing injured players that may get a couple of games before the end of the year? Are there any players that are playing on obscure teams that, you know, need to get a better look? As you say, I mean, it is midway, and now you get the crossovers with scouting. Are there some intriguing, you know, limited viewing players out there?
Well, there's always a few, and we try and place them on our list in a position where we can move them up, because what you expect to have happen is that these kids are going to develop and improve as the year goes along. And I'll give an example, a player, Brendan Gooley from Prince Albert. We've got him in the middle of the third round. I know a lot of NHL teams really aren't sure where to place him, but he's probably one of the best skating defensemen in this year's draft class. And that's very appealing to teams, and his game is going and it's trending in the right direction. And he was just recently added as an injury replacement to the top prospects game. And I know a lot of NHL personnel are really interested in seeing how he does in this game against his peers and then tracking him in the second half. And there's a number of players that will make a significant move, but I'm saying they'll go from the third round up to the second round and a couple from the second to the first and vice versa. But you always expect to see players come on in the second half, and you've got a very good example right there in Calgary with Travis Sanheim.
Right.
We had him buried in the fourth, I think, in our midseason. We advanced him up into the second, I believe, by our midseason rankings, but our rankings come out early in April before the playoffs are finished and before the U18. And, you know, he just continued to climb and climb, and his performance at the U18 propelled him right up in as a first-round selection.
Dan, really appreciate your time today. Thank you for the insight. Look forward to watching a lot of these young men progress towards the June draft. But thanks for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Man.